And that can only tell us that Wonder Woman Suzanne Wright is with us in our continuing Rediscovering America series. And today Suzanne is going to chat with us and take us on a mental journey to Birmingham. Welcome, Suzanne.
Hi, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Hey, listen, you're getting to be quite
the... Happy holidays.
Well, thank you. Same to you. You're getting to be quite the foodie these days.
Gosh, Roy, I'm having a hard time hearing you. You're almost a faint echo.
Yeah, I know. I've been a faint echo all my life, but for some reason or other, is that a little bit better for you?
It's a little bit better, yes.
Okay.
I listen extra hard. I got my ear pushed right up on the...
against the earpiece. And I don't know. It's funny. We were chatting with the last guest, and it didn't happen. It just maybe it's something to do with Atlanta.
You think so?
I don't know. But anyway, this... Let's just go to your article, and it's interesting in that you did this trip to Birmingham, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and that you start off your article by saying food, especially on the local or regional level, is the key component of culture. Why don't you take it from there?
Well, you know, I think there are whole organizations that are dedicated to preserving what's called culinary foodways, which basically means, you know, whether you're in Italy or whether you're in Alabama or whether you're in Colombia in, you know, in South America,
right,
that there are very specific culinary cultural, you know, heritages that have been passed down through the ages that are based on what locally grows. And that what has been artisanally harvested, and in many cases, you know, manufactured and then sent out to much of the rest of the world.
And of course, in this article, a lot of nostalgia, and specifically in this article, there's a lot of nostalgia behind all this.
Oh, well, you know, I have a soft spot for the South and for Southern food. I mean, I think it is. The South, you know, arguably wherever you want to draw the line, the Mason-Dixon or what have you, has some incredible and has held on to some real incredible culinary traditions. And a city like Alabama, or a city like Birmingham, in a state like Alabama, really has held on to a lot of that that tradition. And it sometimes gets forgotten, you know, as we build, you know, more and more new modern attractions, whether that be malls or, you know, theme parks or what have you. We sometimes forget this, but it was absolutely fascinating to work with the folks in Birmingham and really unearth some of the longtime manufacturers, in particular, of some amazing products that you might not have a chance to sample if you live in Michigan, or if you live in Florida, or if you live in New York.
And of course, you did sample out. You let's just touch on a couple of them. Buffalo Rock ginger ale, for example.
Fascinating story. It's a spicy drink. If anyone's ever had Jamaican ginger ale or a Jamaican beer, they'll know the very sort of spicy taste that's derived from ginger. And the fascinating story about Buffalo Rock is, and it's named Southern Spice. So, you know, when ordinary won't do is their tagline. But this drink actually had its beginnings on the battlefield in the Civil War. And ginger was believed to be beneficial to the health. And actually, I mean, many frequent travelers and listeners to the show will know, ginger has a calming force on the stomach and is often used holistically to treat nausea, motion sickness, that sort of thing, unsettled stomach.
Yeah, I can remember my mother telling me those things with ginger ale, actually.
And it absolutely works. So you've got this, you know, fantastic little can that you can pull up to the 7-Eleven or, you know, the Quick Mart, and you can buy yourself a, you know, an 89-cent can of, you know, Buffalo Rock and have that sort of fizzy explosion in your mouth, and that's kind of neat.
So then you actually went to where the products were made to...
I did. I went to several different places. One of the places I went to was Bud's Best Cookies, which is a family-owned business in a suburb of Birmingham. And they get about 30,000 people that visit the plant, particularly a lot of kids. And they do a little sort of miniature cart, connected series of connected carts, almost like a train that takes you through the actual factory itself. But it's fascinating to watch the conveyor belts, you know, crisscrossing, carrying variously chocolate chip cookies or sugar cookies or oatmeal cookies, and to see how they're made. And you know, in some of these small towns, people have worked there all their lives, so it's really interesting to talk to the folks that are at Ground Zero making cookies. So it's really, I don't know, I love it. I guess I'm kind of a geek that way.
Well, and then there's the potato chip.
Oh, potato chip factories. I won't say it's the first time I've been to a potato chip factory. I've done that in outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is another big culinary food heritage region.
You're so adventurous.
Right. But Golden Flake is, anyone who lives in the South knows that Golden Flake is the number two regional brand, or it's really the number one regional brand and number two in sales behind Frito-Lay. And so they're sold in the Carolinas and Alabama and Georgia and Florida. So they're very popular products. So I got to see how cheese puffs are made, and you know, see how potatoes are converted into chips. And I got to talk with several of the workers there who had, you know, spent years and years and years living through automation. I mean, it's interesting. If you've worked, you know, four or five decades in a plant like this and raised your family, and you know, you learn the stories behind, you know, the people that are bagging these chips, and they've seen automation come in. They've seen changes in the way that the product is has been handled, and changes in the recipes to some degree. So very, very fascinating stuff. And again, all of this is open to the public. This is not journalist only.
Well, and not only that, it's there's photos of chips on our website along with peanuts from your article.
Yeah, I mean, I found everyone was quite willing to let you snap photos for your own personal memory bank.
Right.
No problem with that. I mean, you know, what's really nice is these are not huge conglomerates that would be A, paranoid about letting you in.
Right.
You know, and B, would be concerned about trade secrets. So of course, if you're respectful and interested, and again, many of these facilities do take in a lot of school groups, seniors groups, so they're used to having guests, and they're enthusiastic about telling you, you know, how chips end up on your plate or how cookies end up on your plate. So it's really, I think if you've never seen the manufacturing process for some food products, it really is a fascinating thing to be able to observe.
Now, there's also the Morgan Creek vineyards there.
Right. Well, you know, let's be honest, Alabama is not known for wineries and for growing grapes, but there is a particular gentleman that is growing a couple of varieties of grapes and producing some sort of sweeter wines, I would say, particularly muscadine, which is a southern varietal. I mean, which historically has been a southern varietal. And what's great about his small operation is not only can you tour and learn a little bit of the process of, you know, how he makes his wines and how he decided which wines would grow best in the particular climate that he's, you know, faced with harvesting in. But you can also, depending on the season, pick fresh blueberries and other berries that are there on his land, which is great. And there were lots of people doing it when I visited. I visited in the heat of the summer in July, and there were a lot of people out picking. So that's great. I mean, that's great to be able to take back to your hotel and nibble on.
And it's also where they do the famous wine stomp that we saw at the episode on I Love Lucy.
That's right.
For those that remember that episode.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I wasn't there during the wine stomp, but I think that would be great fun. I certainly remember the I Love Lucy episode. And, you know, and he said we really sort of recreate that, and it's great fun for people. And, you know, it's a real wholesome family activity. It's a great thing. You know, kids of all ages can really get involved.
There's nothing that I could envision that would be more fun than stomping wine in our bare feet with you.
Absolutely.
Now, let's just move on into the, you know, the African Americans and soul, the Southern soul food.
Absolutely. Well, one of the great things about visiting Birmingham is, you know, not only are there these incredible places that you can see food being made and being manufactured, taught to the people who are bringing this to market, but then you can also go and sit and enjoy, in particular, you know, Sweet Home Alabama is known for a lot of Southern soul cooking and soul food.
Yeah,
and
little catfish, yeah.
Absolutely. And Birmingham was an important civil rights epicenter. So there was a great cultural heritage of African-American restaurants and cafes and small coffee shops where, you know, really important history-changing conversations took place, and that now have welcomed in and ushered in a whole new, you know, generations of new, you know, movers and shakers. And it's great to go and just sit in these storied walls. I mean, there's a couple listed on the website, LaVey's Fine Dining and also Nikki's West. I mean, these are great places to go and rub shoulders with locals. These are not necessarily what I would consider to be, you know, the most touristic guidebook recommended places, but they're places to really feel the history of, you know, of an important southern city.
Well, and let's move to that. I mean, let's talk about the historic Birmingham, because you know, it's certainly a city on the rise, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Birmingham has always been known as Iron City. And even though it is today no longer producing iron, that really was the source of its wealth in the last century. And so now you can visit Sloss Furnaces, which is a National Historic Landmark. It's 32 acres that really trace how an Irish farmer found and began mining iron ore and limestone and coal to produce steel in the South. And you know, almost for 100 years, that factory employed hundreds and hundreds of men, and interestingly, was always integrated. So that's a must-do stop on any tour.
And of course, the big civil rights movement.
Absolutely, that's the other thing. Birmingham has an entire civil rights district, which is very compact, very walkable in the downtown area. A fantastic museum that takes you through gallery by gallery, Martin Luther King's role in the civil rights movement. You can see his jail cell, lots and lots of artifacts, you know, from 40s, 50s, and 60s that really paint the picture of how divided the town was.
Suzanne, super. And those who are listening can go to our website at ttrn.com. There's some photos up there, and you can read Wonder Woman Suzanne's Wright article in depth. Once again,
well, great.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Hey, thanks, Roy. Again, happy holidays to everyone listening.
Thank you very much, and bye
Take
for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.